Hello and welcome to Press TV News Analysis. I'm Kaveh Taghwa. It's the 101st International Women's Day, a global day celebrating the economic, political, and social achievements of women, past, present, and future. How have women fared in the world? Has there been progress in women's rights in regions like the United States and in Europe? Well, we will explore this at length with our guests and reflect on why some have said that the new millennium has witnessed a significant change in a shift in attitude in both women's and society's thoughts about women's equality.
The United Nations International Women's Day themes for 2012 is empowering rural women and ending hunger and poverty. Although they sound like good objectives, there are serious doubts on whether the two themes could be accomplished. Millions of women continue to endure social, financial, and sexual exploitation around the world, and hunger and poverty is rampant among them. There are other problems facing women that have been going unchecked in recent decades. One shocking reality of today's world with regard to women is human trafficking and sex slavery. This type of modern slavery is a harsh reality for millions of women worldwide, especially in the West. The disintegration of family and family values, caused mainly by the Western corporate's publicity machine, has made matters even worse for women. This has resulted in more and more single mothers and lower birth rates among the nations that the West considers as undesirable. Many also blame the capitalist system for the problems women are facing. They accuse capitalism of using women as mere tools to achieve economic goals and accumulate wealth. All this is not only taking place under the nose of Western governments, which claim they have taken long strides in protecting the rights of women, but it has also been quietly encouraged and supported by the Western patrons who use women's rights as a soundbite, and only then for political leverage against lands they consider rivals.
Well, let's discuss this. Let me introduce our guests. We have Amina Enlos, who's an American researcher. She joins us from London. And the European president of International Muslim Women's Union, Yvonne Ridley, joins us on the phone also from London. I'd like to welcome you both. Let me go first to you, Amina Enlos. International Women's Day is a good cause, after all. It is about women. Is there a reason to celebrate this International Women's Day? And, of course, maybe you can give us an example of where you are, whether that is a good day to be celebrated.
I do think that as the clips you were showing before demonstrate, it is still important nowadays to pay attention to some of the social injustices that unfortunately many women throughout the world, including in this country, but in many places are facing. Whether we do that on Women's Day or on any other day, of course, it doesn't really matter. We should be concerned about these issues all the time. But perhaps it's good to call attention to it once in a while in a healthy manner.
Yvonne Ridley, according to political, educational, jobs, and health indicators, it has come out that the worst place for women to live was Yemen, and Afghanistan came in second. And interestingly, both involved the United States, one with that 10-year-old war, the other recently appointed to rule Yemen, and that was with the help of the U.S. Considering the other U.S. wars, like Iraq, were improving lives, and of course including women's lives, a priority?
I think the trouble is with a lot of these polls and surveys, which are inevitably carried out and conducted in the West, that they can be very misleading. I mean, you mentioned Yemen being one of the worst places for women to live. Well, you look at Tawakkul Karman, what a fantastic, amazing woman. She has been a leader in the Yemeni revolution. And if anybody tries to portray Yemeni women as quiet, subjugated creatures, you just have to look at the uprising in Yemen to realize that they are the cause of the revolution there. And Afghan women have been terribly, terribly betrayed by the West. Bush and Blair told us that they were going into Afghanistan to liberate the women there. And I've been to Afghanistan many times, and I can tell you there are no career women emerging from the rubble. There might be some MPs, female MPs, but I'm assuming that that's just window dressing. A lot of it is purely cosmetic. The reality is the West has hardly the women of Afghanistan. So when you get Western surveys that say that these are the worst places for women to live, I would question that. You know, how do you decide on what is the quality of life for women? Certainly, areas of the West, women are treated as sex slaves, as objectification, and all sorts of exploitation. And, you know, some of these surveys.
Well, let me introduce Press TV anchor Marzia Hashemi, who joins us in the studio here in the capital, Tehran. I'm bringing her into this discussion. Marzia Hashemi, welcome. Let's look at the United States. The U.S. has painted a rosy picture of its culture, from whether it's from music, from fashion, movies, to, of course, women. In the area of women, strides have been made, but the recent stats are stating otherwise. We could look at a high percentage of divorce rates, which is at 50%, to teenage pregnancies, to name a few. Perhaps even based on your experience living in the United States, maybe you can tell us what factors are behind this.
Yeah, well, hi, Kaveh. Great to be with you. You know, it's a rosy picture that is painted, but the reality is definitely something different. And for those women, working women, they definitely understand that what Hollywood portrays is very far and different from their own lives. Some statistics, Kaveh, I was just going through some notes of mine, that for every dollar still that a man makes in the U.S., a white woman, now that is important because there's a distinction between ethnicities as far as for women, 78 cents still per every dollar. And for black women, 67 cents per dollar. And for Latinos, 55 cents per dollar. So this rosy picture that is painted, either the music, via the music, our movies, or in general in different aspects and different ways in the culture, is very far from the reality on the ground. And as you said, more than 50% right now of the marriages in divorce, most of the single households that are being led by women, the majority of them are impoverished. So it's a very different reality on the ground in the U.S. for women.
Let's go a little bit more with this, Marzia. In terms of what even I have experience of living in the United States, they did make strides through the 60s up to the 70s. But then during the 80s, we saw women taking place in the workforce to such a degree that it led to couple both working.
Right.
And then the deteriorating situation occurred inside the households where, of course, the divorce comes into play, and then a lot of women being single mothers. So has that led to this deteriorating quality of women in the United States in particular?
Well, that has played a very, very big role. You know, Kaveh, I remember my mother's generation. It was a generation that they were still at home, and the statistics for divorce were very, very low in the United States. But of course, a lot of people wanted to go out, make their own money, and there's no problem with that. It was just that other aspects of the society, including the family, was forgotten. So then what happened was all the women went out to work, and of course the men are out working too. So the children are basically left to fend on them for themselves. They're put in daycare early on. And of course that woman, when she's coming home, she is tired. She is tired too, as tired as the man. But there are other expectations from her. So of course there's more pressure that comes on the woman, and usually in the marriage itself. I think one problem that we had, because in the 70s, that was the big time for the feminist movement. There were a lot of different things going on. But I think one thing that we have realized from that feminist movement, because they were demanding equality in every way. And we know from the Islamic perspective, because I am a Muslim, and one of the things that we look at is not just equality in that way, because we understand that men and women are different. However, in the West, they're saying, no, 100% the same. Well, that woman, it is difficult for her to get a job and, let's say, pick up an 80-pound, 100-pound bag. That does not mean equality as far as our perspective, Islamic perspective of equality. And all of these type of things have put pressure on the women, not being able to take leave, maternity leave, or if she stays home, it's unpaid leave. And if she gets paid leave, which is, I think, about 5% of the women right now are getting paid leave, At most, it's 5 weeks. So, of course, that is putting a lot of stress on the woman psychologically, and it is causing a lot of harm to that individual and also to her family life, too. And this is the result of what we're seeing. This is where we are right now.
Let's switch gears a little bit. I mean, Lois, I'm sorry, let me come to you. There's been a serious criticism that many have raised, and that is that women in the West, especially in more industrially advanced nations, have become a tool in the hands of big corporations for promoting their products. And I hate to just use the United States. We could also perhaps include some other Western countries, how women are depicted in music videos, which is still a form of product. How true is this criticism? How valid is it?
Definitely, I do think that one of the more regrettable things in this era is the mass objectification of women, as you mentioned, in the music industry and especially in advertising. However, I would suggest that this might not be limited to the West. I think in a lot of cultures throughout the world, women tend to be objectified in one way or another and encouraged to focus primarily on their appearance or valued for that. And we do see this in the advertising in many, many countries, not just Western countries, although there is a probably $1 trillion or $1 trillion industry in this here. But in any case, it is something that people should be conscious of in whatever country they live in. And if they feel like they are starting to view women in simply with respect to their appearance or value them or value themselves solely for that reason, then to catch ourselves a bit and remember this is not a healthy way to view ourselves as human beings, nor is it a healthy way to view others.
Well, Marzia Hashemi, I'm going to bring up some stats here, and it's pretty interesting in the case of Rwanda, and that's going solely by political representation. Did you know that Rwanda has done best in terms of their political representation of women, with 56.3% of its 80-seat lower house being female? And let's put a comparison and bring the United States in here in terms of their rank, in which the U.S. has ranked number 78, moving on to Canada 40th and Britain 50, which was tied with Malawi. That's pretty interesting and eye-opening, isn't it?
Definitely is, Kaveh. And I think that, again, it shows us the power of the media. Because I'm sure if you go in the streets of any city in the United States or in the UK or Canada, those three countries that you mentioned, for example, I am sure the majority of the people could not even imagine that their countries would be, for example, behind Rwanda and a whole lot of others. I think what we're talking about, because of course this is the industry that we are in, is the power of the media to project whatever they want to project. And the most powerful media right now is, of course, in the West. So depending on the news, what they show, depending on the movies that they show, and depending on the music, what the message is in their music, I mean, that's what basically the average American, I can say, they really many times may think that this is the reality, that perhaps they may see themselves going through a difficult time. But if you ask them overall, as far as where America, the United States, would be on this scale in dealing with the rights of women, they would definitely, the majority of them, what I'm sure would say, at least in the top 5 or top 10. So this is an image, the way it is portrayed. And the opposite of that is the way that women are portrayed in many countries. You talked about Rwanda, in African countries, in many Eastern countries. Usually the women are portrayed in the West submissive, not having the rights that the Western woman has. And of course, we know that that is not the case.
Yvonne Ridley, we're talking about political representation of women. And we mentioned the top country, which was Rwanda. But isn't it revealing that 7 countries that have no female representation whatsoever include Saudi Arabia and Qatar? And, of course, they're both close allies of the U.S. and U.K. What does it say about those countries, which puts into question how women, for example, in Saudi Arabia, are celebrating this very important day?
Well, it's very interesting that you bring that up. Of course, women are just not represented at all. But of course, the West, which claims to promote women, will certainly not criticize Saudi Arabia. David Cameron would not want to go on to a collision course with a kingdom which is billions of pounds in arms deals for Britain. And this has seen, you know, Britain is hosting the Olympics this summer, and Saudi Arabia is fielding an all-man squad. There are no women Olympians in the Saudi team because basically sport is banned for women in Saudi Arabia. Now, if Britain was such a good friend and such a strong ally, it should be able to tell the kingdom, you know, get your act together and start treating your women as equals. Unfortunately, those Islamophobes out there who will attack Islam will cite this as a reason for why to criticize Islam. And of course, we all know that this has absolutely nothing to do with Islam at all. And Saudi Arabia needs to start moving ahead and making some positive steps. But unfortunately, as long as it wields so much influence in terms of money and oil, Britain and America are not going to criticize it. And this this is quite shocking and hypocritical. But you know, you were talking about political representation. For women to have equal representation in the British Parliament, it would take 40 more general elections. That's not 40 years, that's 40 more general elections at the way that women are developing in politics at the moment, which is a shocking indictment on female representation in the British Parliament.
Amina, Inlows, we're looking at some of the videos that when Yvonne really was talking of women being out on the rice fields, for example. And it was very interesting to see that actually 55% of all the crops, for example, and things that have to deal with vegetables gathering is actually done by women across the world, in particular, for example, in Africa and in Caribbean nations. And yet that's something that is not highlighted. What will it take to see this realization of women's rights on a global scale and for the representation to be vocalized?
Do you mean with regards to the work of women being recognized globally?
Yes.
Well, I think this perhaps just requires people to be a bit more aware. We oftentimes speak about women working as if it's something modern, but obviously women have been working for thousands of years and largely in agriculture, as we know, and this still continues to be the case. So I think just simply appreciating this and acknowledging the immense contributions that women make to the world economy is very valuable.
And Marzi Hashemi, relatively speaking, the same question to you. I mean, what is it going to take? What efforts must be made to make women's lives matter everywhere, all the time?
Well, I think, Kavi, first of all, it's an awareness and an appreciation. I think, again, I will go back to the media, because I do think that the media can play a very big role in this and throughout the world, and showing the accomplishments of women, respecting women. I think that's one of the main problems that women are facing throughout the world, is that lack of respect for whatever that they are doing. There has to be a greater recognition. And this starts, of course, I believe, in the schools and educating our boys and girls from the very beginning about respecting females, respecting girls, respecting women and the jobs that they're doing, whether they are at home or in the workplace. And that is the main thing, that is the main problem, is that lack of respect. With the lack of respect comes abuse, comes so many other social ills that we're seeing, we're witnessing against women. So education, I believe, Kaveh, via media, schools, and trying to teach our boys and men how to respect women.
Yvonne Ridley, Marzi Hashemi talks about the media perhaps being a tool in terms of helping this recognition, and of course education at school. But at the same time, the media has played a role in negatively affecting and, in a sense, promoting a certain Western cultures, for example, in other countries that are not conducive to the culture of that particular country, to let that country evolve on its own in terms of the woman advancing. So how can that be stopped? Because as Marzia pointed out, most of the media is controlled by the Western world.
Well, it has to come through the media, and it has to come through the politicians. And unfortunately, you know, you get a lot of politicians saying that they are promoting women's rights and promoting equality, and then they pay lip service to the plight of the women in Afghanistan. I'm just thinking of the occupying forces of America, Britain, France, Germany, and other countries that are in Afghanistan. The reality is they couldn't care less about the plight of the Afghan women. If you look at the French Prime Minister, Nicolas Sarkozy, his government banned the niqab, the full face veil in France, a country which is supposed to be liberty, equality, and of course it again couldn't care less about the plight of Muslim women in its country as well as elsewhere in the world. And yet these countries wouldn't dare criticize Saudi Arabia for its continual repression of women. There's so many double standards and so much hypocrisy from the male-dominated governments in the West. And unfortunately, you know, those governments and the media are to blame for perpetuating these myths about women and women's rights and objectifying women and how women should look. Instead of actually looking beyond the length of someone's skirt or the size of someone's bust, it's all very, very superficial.
Amina and Loz, along those lines, there reaches a point when the cultural identity of each country in terms of how a woman is in that particular society cannot be sacrificed based on what, for example, the media is portraying women to be, whether it's coming from the West, in terms of countries from the West, or any other part of the world. I mean, isn't there a fine line that needs to be reached in order for that cultural identity of that woman not to be sacrificed?
Obviously, cultural identity in every society is very valuable, and I wouldn't want to promote the idea that there needs to be a global culture that we all agree upon, because usually that ends up being the dominance by whoever is most powerful, which nowadays many people would argue that Western culture is taking that role. However, I think it's also very important, particularly when we are discussing women's rights, to acknowledge that in virtually every society, there are aspects of the culture, whether Eastern or Western, whatever culture. Some of them are very positive for women and beneficial, but there are some areas of improvement. So while at the same time embracing the positive aspects of a cultural identity of women, we should also be realistic that there may be areas in which women are perhaps subject to more less empowerment or, God forbid, abuse or other situations in their lives which are in need of reform, and there may be some cultural aspects hampering that, or perhaps some negative ideas about women. So it is important to look towards moving forward in some ideas as well. I don't think there needs to be a contradiction between what many people perceive as, I should say, I don't think there needs to be a clash between what many people perceive as Western values of men and women being absolutely the same versus other views of men and women. It doesn't need to be a cultural war. What's important is that we are working for social justice for women and also other minority communities, and dealing with the issues as real issues, not just necessarily as intercultural issues.
Marzia Hashemi, quickly if you can, perhaps in no other time in history is there such a movement that we're witnessing, which we've witnessed for the past year, and that is what they have called, many have called the Arab Spring, but it's sweeping through many countries, through North Africa and the Middle East, and perhaps the case of women can be elevated in each particular country. Unfortunately, what we've seen in Egypt has not been the case. Two women politically being represented. We've seen what the SCAF has done in terms of some of the demonstrations that involve women. Do you think that overall, ultimately, this movement of people is going to turn out positive for the women in North Africa and the Middle East?
I think so. It has to. Not only have we seen what we had expected in Egypt for the women, but I think in general, that they have not reached a point that they were aiming for. I do think, if we recall the pictures in the early days and still now in Yemen and the women taken to the streets, and of course Egypt and all the countries, we see the role that women have been playing, and I'm sure that when they get the victory in their countries that they're going to play a greater, greater role, just as we had an example of that 32 years ago at the time of the Islamic revolution in Iran, and after that victory, and we can see in the Iranian society a big change today in Iran compared to the previous regime.
Okay.
So I'm sure it will happen, Kaveh.
Thank you so much. Press TV anchor Marzia Hashimi here in the studios. I'd like to thank Amina and Lose, an American researcher from London, also from London, European president of International Muslim Women's Union, Yvonne Ridley. Thank you all for joining us in this news analysis, and you, the viewer. Do send us any comments or suggestions to newsroom@presstv.ir. For me, Kaveh Tafoi, and the entire team, it's goodbye.